Time for Surf and Turf. Alternating Thursdays at this time, we get reports from our oceans guy, Boris Warm, and about the rest of the Wild Kingdom from Andrew Hebda at the Museum of Natural History. And this week, a picture of some of the most biodiverse places in all the world's oceans.
Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter, take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day, out in the sun, they slave away. While we devoting full time to floating under the sea.
Boris Warm studies the oceans at Dalhousie University. He also travels to other parts of the world to put what he's learning here in perspective. And he spent the past week or two in the Western Pacific, checking out some of the richest coral reefs in the world. We reached him earlier in New Caledonia, halfway between Australia and Fiji. Hi, Boris.
Hi, Stephanie.
Now, I know you're planning to tell us about what you see in New Caledonia next week, so maybe tell us where you've been so far on this journey.
Well, I went to Raja Ampat, which is a remote region in western Papua, which belongs to Indonesia, and I wanted to go there because it's basically the center of biodiversity hotspots on this planet in the marine realm, meaning the richest marine area we have or we know about. It's the mother of all biodiversity hotspots. It has so many species. It's just outstanding on a worldwide scale. And we saw this in a number of analyses we've done on species richness globally. And I was just curious to see how this looks like when you actually go there.
So what does Raja Ampat look like?
Well, it's a tropical area. It's right smack on the equator. The land is tropical rainforest, as you can imagine, and most of Indonesia has been heavily logged, but this area has been spared so far. So it's very beautiful on land. It's old-growth forests. It supports a population of, maybe 30,000 people or so who live in about 100 small villages, mostly from fishing. And when you stick your head underwater, you see this explosion of color and form. This area has about 650 to 700 different species of coral and at least 1,600 species of fish. It holds the world record for the most fish on a single dive. So this one person from Australia who's a fish taxonomist went on one dive and he saw more than 300 fish species, so that on average there's about one new species every 10 seconds. For comparison, if you do a dive in Nova Scotia, you're lucky if you see dive maybe 10 species of fish tops. So it's just unbelievable when you see it in reality.
What's the most exotic species you've seen?
the thing that really amazed me, because I didn't even know it existed, is pygmy seahorses. So you know seahorses, right?
Yeah.
They are about the size of the palm of your hand. And they're fairly rare. A lot of them are endangered, and most of them are protected now. But there are these pygmy versions of them that are about maybe 4 or 5 millimeters in total length when they're adults. They're smaller as juveniles, obviously. So you can hardly see them. They look basically like a piece of dirt sitting on a coral. And I had this dive guide with me who was basically in love with these things, and he was very good at finding them, and he pointed them out to me. And at first, I had no idea what he was showing to me. But as I looked really, really, really closely, I saw this tiny, tiny seahorse, perfectly shaped and, perfectly functional and its own species that only occurs in this area as so many other species.
How exciting. Why are you on this trip, and who are you on it with?
Okay, so this is not just the world's richest marine regions. It's also a very endangered place. I said it hadn't been logged before, but there's certainly a lot of interest in logging it. And that hurts the land, but it also hurts the ocean, because when you log a tropical forest, you get a lot of runoff and a lot of sediment that kills the reef, basically. And I did see that in a few places. So the government is starting to build roads where the people don't really need roads. But it's a development project, and it creates these problems with silt and sediment settling on the reef and killing the coral, and then the fish leave too. So I did see some of that. And there's groups that try to prevent this and also try to prevent illegal fishing in this area. There's been a lot of bomb fishing, which is a know, the Americans invented that in Second World War, basically throwing a hand grenade in the water and all the fish come up belly up. It's a very efficient, very, very, very destructive way of fishing, and it's still prevalent in Indonesia today. And these groups I was working with, particularly Conservation International, they have been able to kick the bomb fishes out of this area and declare a large network of protected areas that are enforced by local communities who have an interest in protecting these resources for their own sake, for fishing, but also for tourism, which is picking up in this area.
Boris, what's it like seeing the richness in the oceans after studying the depletion of large fish worldwide and living in a part of the world where the great cod fishery came crashing down?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a biologist's dream, I really have to say. I mean, I think so many, many more people need to see this, need to see what's still there, need to see this. It's a species factory, this area, basically. There's new species evolving all the time, and it's all dependent on the reef. If the reef wasn't there, we wouldn't have this richness. And so our efforts should really focus on protecting these reefs. It's a treasure trove for the entire world, and we really need to look after it. And it's really in the balance right now. I could see a lot of areas that were suffering from these increasing impacts, but other areas were recovering due to the conservation actions that people have been taking. So I was on this very remote island called Wayak, way out. It's actually towards the Philippines, and it has been bombed to bits by the bomb fishers. It's so sad when you see it underwater. It's basically rubble fields. It looks like Europe after Second World War or worse. But amongst all this mess, you do see recovery as this area has been protected for now maybe 3 or 4 years. You see new baby sharks coming in and lots of small fish and lots of life kind of taking a hold again. And that made me really hopeful. What also made me really hopeful is to see that the people there really, really, really cared. And they have these wonderful programs where they travel from village to village and teach the school kids about the ocean and take them diving, take them snorkeling, have them look underwater, expose them to the richness there is and make them proud of it. So that is something they identify with and they want to protect into the future. And that seems to be really working as well.
Any lessons for us here in Nova Scotia?
Oh, well, you know, what really struck me was how enthusiastic the people were about their marine heritage. And once they were exposed to it, once they had seen it with their own eyes, they were basically all sold on, you know, keeping it the way it is and being very careful about it, because they knew they were sitting on something that's globally unique, you know, something that has no match anywhere else in the world. And it made me think about Nova Scotia or the Maritimes more broadly, which, you know, was at one point the richest fishing ground in the world. And about Canada in general, we have the longest coastline on the planet, and we don't identify with it. We're not really proud of our marine wildlife or marine heritage the same way I found in this area. So, you know, I think we should really take a good look at how we relate to the ocean and just take good care of it, basically, and be good stewards and learn about it and go out and see the marine wildlife ourselves. And I think that would change our attitude to the oceans a great deal.
Great to talk with you, Boris.
Good to talk to you, Steph. Take care.
You too. That's Boris Worm. He's our oceans guy, and he'll be back next Thursday at this time on Main Street with another report from the Western Pacific.